You may be seated, and if there are other youngsters who'd care to join us, come on down, bring a parent or a grandparent or a friend, and that is perfectly okay. When I was just a little boy, I didn't live in the city. I lived way out in the country. And now, come on up, join us. Yeah, we got some more folks coming up for us. Good. I like to see all these beautiful faces. It makes my day and it makes my week. So come on and have a seat with us. When I was a boy living in the country, we had on the farm what we call ponds. Now, a pond is just a kind of little bitty lake. It's not as big as a lake, it's not as big as an ocean. A pond is something that you can see the ground all the way around it, but it's still got water in it. You can fish in a pond, you can swim in a pond. You can do all kinds of fun things, and one of the fun things we did with this pond was we would take rocks and we would kind of skip them. If they were kind of flat and smooth, we'd skip them and they might bounce once or twice. And every time they bounced, I noticed these little circles coming out. Sometimes we just threw a rock right out in the middle of the water. And when we did, first there would be one circle. It would get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until it touched the whole shore of the pond. But right after that would come another circle where I'd thrown the rock. It's a little wave, one wave after another, after another, after another, and each one of those circles would go all the way out until it touched the whole shore of the pond. Today is Trinity Sunday, and I want to tell you that God's love is like that rock that's thrown into a pond. Circles of love start spreading out. And they spread out until they touch everything in the world, everything in creation, everything in the universe. And that first circle that went out, we call God. And the second circle that went out, we call Jesus. And the third circle that went out is the Holy Spirit. It's all the same pond. But these are just waves of God's love washing over us. And you know what? It doesn't stop there. Because another wave of love washes over us when we come to church and we see all these people who care for us. We see the love they share for us. And then another wave goes out into the world as we love other people. So the waves of God's love just keep going out and out and out until they touch the whole universe. Now I'm going to be talking more about God's love, how it covers everything, how it's in everything. And when I do, you might want to think about those waves that go when you throw a rock in water, because they come out one after another, and they touch everything along the shore of that pond, or even a puddle. If you throw a rock in a puddle, you still get those little rings of water. That's the way God's love is. It touches all of us and everything. Let's pray. Thank you for your love, O God. Thank you for this creation, for the love that you shared in Jesus, for the very breath you breathe in us, your Spirit. And especially thank you that we can share that love with others. We can be one of those waves of love washing into your world. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming down. We are very blessed among congregations. When you see children come up like this, there were 19 at the early service. I mean, just lots and lots and lots of kids who come along and come up. And that means that we also get to celebrate a lot of baptisms. We don't have any this Sunday, but sometimes we celebrate two or three a week. Now, do you realize there are churches that don't celebrate two or three baptisms in a year? There are churches that don't celebrate two or three baptisms in a decade. We are so richly blessed by the number of children and adults who come to us saying, we want to be baptized, or we want our child to be baptized. And one of the advantages that comes with that is that we get to say again and again and again those promises that we make as members of this congregation. We get to hear those promises that the person being baptized or the parents of the child being baptized make. But we also get to make those promises again and again and again. And one of those is that we will surround each of those persons with a community of love and forgiveness. The problem with having this many baptisms and getting to say that so often is that sometimes we say it so often we don't even listen. We've forgotten what we're promising and it just becomes rote. It's a powerful thing to say that we are going to create in this place, among these people, a community of love and forgiveness. So how do we figure that? What kind of love? Well, of course, Jesus, when asked what the greatest commandment was, borrowed on his own tradition from the Hebrew scriptures, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I can live with that because, you know, I don't always love myself, so that gives me an out with my neighbor, right? It means that I can be a little inconsistent with this loving business and I can still get by. Love your neighbor as yourself. I could probably, if I worked hard, do that. Maybe if I didn't even work that hard. Maybe I could just love the people that are likable and not the others, because I can love what's likable about myself and not other aspects of myself. But then you get to the Gospel of John. And Jesus is always upping the ante about this love business. Now, the Gospel of John is radically different from the other three. He comes from a way different place than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There is no birth narrative in John, but Jesus rather is that creative spoken word that God breathed into the world and made everything that is. It's a different start, a different beginning. And it doesn't stop there. John continues his own peculiar description of this man Jesus, specific to him in so many ways, so that when Jesus gives his commandment to add to the love God, love your neighbor as yourself, he ups the ante by saying, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, now, wait a minute. That's a much taller order than loving my neighbor as myself. To love as Jesus loved? As Jesus loved those dullards among his followers who didn't get what he said again and again and again, no matter how many times he explained it to them, how many different ways he told it to them. That Jesus loved the one who betrayed him, the one who denied knowing him, those who deserted him. Love one another as Jesus has loved us. That's something to aspire to. But then you get to chapter 17, and he does it again. Chapter 17 falls in that set of passages during which Jesus is preparing his followers, his disciples, to be without him. What do disciples do when their master is no longer with them? What do disciples do when their rabbi is no longer there to teach them, either by word or example? Well, he helps. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'll return. I'll take you to myself. He does all of this preparation with them, and then here, Jesus prays for his disciples. And in his prayer, he says, everything you have given me, God, I passed along to them. Everything you taught me, I taught them. Everything you showed me, I showed them. Your very nature is what they see in me. And then he says, may they be one as you and I are one. What? We are supposed to love one another as Jesus and God love one another. That's even more than what he ever said before. That's even a taller order than loving as Jesus loved us. On this Trinity Sunday, we remember that God's love comes to us in several ways. Those waves of love enter the world through creation. They enter the world through Jesus. They enter the world through the Holy Spirit. We celebrated that. We told that story last week. And the love that binds Jesus and the Creator and the very breath of God, the Spirit, together, we are supposed to have that love among us. You see, this is what John Wesley was talking about when he talked about perfection. He wasn't talking about never making a mistake. We all make mistakes. He was talking about learning to love the way God loves. Not just your neighbor as yourself. Not just how Jesus has loved us. But the way God and Jesus and the Spirit love one another. That love that Dante says moves the sun and moon and stars. That love that holds the atoms and the subatomic particles together. That love that not even the black holes in the universe can devour. That love that is never ending. That love that is steadfast. That love that binds together the very fabric of creation and expands throughout all the universe. That's the love we're supposed to have among us. Which is why it says a community of love and forgiveness. Because when you're talking about that kind of love, we are destined to fail. Forgiveness is the only way we get there. Over the past 7.5 years, I have done plenty of things to ask your forgiveness for. Some of them out of ignorance, some of them because I thought I knew better and was right, until I learned that maybe being right wasn't even the point. We have a lot that we need to ask each other forgiveness for. We all must ask forgiveness of the other, because that is the way God's love is reformed in us. That's the way we become a community of love, through forgiveness. When Jesus is talking about saving his disciples from the world, when he's talking about protecting them from evil, he's not talking about the creation. He's already made it clear throughout the Gospel of John. God is infused, and God's love and presence is infused in every bit of creation. The world, as he describes it, the evil that he's protecting them from, is an attitude. A way of thinking. A way of thinking that, well, the earth really isn't God's and the fullness thereof. It really isn't good the way God called it good. It's just stuff that I can use to exploit for my own benefit. And so I really don't have to honor creation. I really don't have to do anything except make as much as I can off of it. That's the attitude of the world. The attitude of the world and the evil that Jesus protects his disciples from is the attitude that those folks are not only are they not blessed and beloved children of God, they're not even people. They're commodities. And as commodities, I can treat them like I treat the rest of creation, can use them, and if they're damaged or destroyed in the process, who cares? That's the attitude of the world. Jesus confronts that with a different attitude. The attitude of God's love that expands through the whole universe and gives us the example of how forgiveness functions in that. He's hanging on the cross, looking down on the people who drove spikes through his wrist and his feet, and he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." That's how Jesus confronts the attitudes of the world. That's what disciples do What disciples do is that we not only say we're going to create a community of love and forgiveness, but we create that community. And with all of our failings and all of our faults, forgiveness is the way we hold it together. My favorite description or observation, I guess you would say, about forgiveness comes from Anne Lamott. She says, to refuse to forgive is like sitting there and drinking rat poison and waiting for the rat to die. It doesn't hurt the rat. It just eats you up inside. Forgiveness is the way we move toward perfection in Wesley's term. It is the way we learn to love as God and Jesus and the Spirit are held together in one love. It is the way we become a part of those rings, those waves of God's love that move out across our community, ultimately across the whole universe. I think we are that kind of community. Not perfectly, of course, we don't do it perfectly, but we are that kind of community. I experienced that kind of community when I came here. You had no idea what you were getting when I came here. This gray-bearded storyteller who didn't stand in the pulpit, give me a break. This is West End. And yet you embraced me with that same kind of love. And I bet every single staff person here will say that they were embraced with that same kind of love. I bet a lot of you are sitting here because you were embraced by that same kind of love when you arrived. We are a community of love and forgiveness. That's what we do. That's what disciples do. Not just here, but in the world where many people don't do that. We see God's beloved children in people where other people don't even see them as human. We see God's goodness woven into the universe where other people only see a quick profit. Something that can be used and used up if necessary. We see God, waves of God's blessing going out and out and out, and we know we're a part of that. We are a part of those waves of God's love. And now you're going to be getting two new staff persons. And they're going to be able to experience that same community of love and forgiveness that I did, that other staff members have. And there's no telling what will happen in this congregation and through this congregation with those waves of God's love expanding into the world from this place. Because you see, it doesn't depend on any one pastor. It doesn't depend on any one lay leader. It depends on the fact that God has dropped love into the world. In the creation, in Jesus, in the breath of the Spirit, and those circles of love keep expanding. And we are part of those circles. And we are going to continue to expand God's love as a community of love and forgiveness as long as we have breath and life. Because it is God's love in which we live and move and have our very being. May it be so. Thanks be to God.